live here in the Scott and Odyssey Studios. Excuse me. We're here at Law Talk Live. We've been obviously broadcasting for many years. My name is Kerry Meldon from Meldon Law. I'm here with my father, Jeffrey Meldon, and founder of Meldon Law. And this is a kind of a cold January morning. This is one of the coldest mornings that we've had in 2023. And Jeffrey's got a little bit of a cough, as you can probably hear. So I'll be leading the way in this morning's episode. But if you want to call in, you can call in at 1-877-975-9825. That's 1-877-975-9825. You can call us about any kind of questions that you may have that are legally related, whether it's what do I do that if a neighbor builds a fence on my property, or a tree fell on my car, you know, do I have to claim insurance? If so, you know, would I have to pay a deductible and under what portion of that insurance? Or it could just be, look, I got sued, I got a letter in the mail, you know, how do I respond? So whatever, those are just a few examples, but whatever questions that you may have that are legally related, you can give us a call at 1-877-975-9825. Once again, this is Kerry Meldon, a lawyer and partner with Meldon Law, along with my father, Jeffrey Meldon, who is sitting here in studios as well. Before we go into conversation, as everyone out there probably knows, Meldon Law is the official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. And if you don't know, now you know. And one of the things that allows us to become really, I guess, intermeshed with the Florida Gators is the athletics. And specifically in the spring, we deal with a lot of basketball, gymnastics, and baseball is coming up as well. We always have free ticket giveaways. The best way to find those ticket giveaways is going to our Facebook page, the Meldon Law Facebook page. Meldon Law is spelled M-E-L-D-O-N-L-A-W, or the Instagram Meldon Law page, which is M-E-L-D-O-N-L-A-W, same spelling, and you just search it on Instagram and or Facebook, and you'll see our ticket giveaways. So that's what you can do, and we just gave away some tickets to gymnastics, where we beat number 5 Auburn last night in the O-Dome. It was a sellout crowd, and the UF women's gymnastics team performed admirably. We also have a lot of basketball, both women's and men's games that we're giving out currently. The UF women's basketball team is doing great, and the men's basketball team has a huge game this afternoon versus Missouri, who's ranked number 20 in the nation. So if you have a chance, I think there's still tickets available. You can just go up to the window, buy some tickets, and watch a game, especially with this type of weather. It's 2 hours. It's indoors. So it's climate control, and you get to be entertained. So I always advise anyone, if they're looking for tickets, just go to the game. You'll find them. I guarantee it. So with that being said, we're going to start our January, what is it, 18th? Or no, January
14th.
Jesus. All right, I'm a little bit off there. January 14th episode of Law Talk Live. Jeffrey, good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Kerry, we had a blast last night at the gymnastics event.
Tell me about it.
Well, we had Fan Fest before, and for those of you that have never been to a gymnastics event, the fans show up 2 hours ahead of time. Fan Fest is where we give away gifts by spinning the Wheel of Fortune. And a lot of parents with their kids, young kids, were coming into the Fan Fest area. And it was really exciting. I mean, the line was very long. There were lots of other folks there giving away stuff. And Meldon Law really had a terrific time. And KISS 105 came by. Brett Douglas showed up, and we did a little Facebook Live with Brett last night. And then the contest was amazing. So Auburn, number 5 in the country, has a top-notch gymnastics team. In my opinion, the Gator team is a lot deeper than Auburn. However, Auburn has probably the top gymnast in the country, a young lady named Suni Lee, who performed admirably, but the Gators outperformed. They crushed them. It was amazing. We had 3 perfect 10s last night, which is very, very unusual. And it was really, you know, pretty cool. Leon Wong had two perfect tens, and Trinity Thomas had one. So it was a, and the crowd went wild, you know, because they show the tens on a little screen where the scores table is, and there's two judges. So the first 10 came up, and then the second 10 came up. What was really crazy was one of the judges on routine gave a 10. The first judge gave a 10, and the second one gave a 9.5, and the whole crowd erupted in boos for the judge that only gave a 9.5 for one of the gymnasts' routines. So anyhow, it was pretty. It was sold out, packed. It's the only event that truly gets a sellout at the University of Florida.
That's crazy. Well, a couple things about gymnasts. First of all, it's very. Hold on 1 second. I got some microphone. I heard some chomping or something. You got it? Do you have a cough drop in, Dad?
I got one.
All right, that's what it is. Okay, I heard, and I want the audience out there hearing the cough drop. But first of all, about gymnastics, it's a subjective scoring. So it's kind of like the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, you have five justices rule in one direction, and then four justices rule in a different direction. The judges in gymnastics seem to be the same way. One may see the same exact routine and score it a 10, and the one next to him who has a lot of experience in gymnastics may score it a 9. So it's always interesting because there's no objective way in which to score gymnastics. Number two, gymnastics has become very interesting in the recent years because Olympic athletes are now allowed to go back to college and engage in college athletics under scholarships even after they've competed in the Olympics. It used to not be that way. That's why you saw the Auburn gymnast, I believe her name was like Suni Lee or Sunny Lee.
Suni Lee.
Suni Lee was an all-around gold medalist at the last Olympics, I believe, and now she's competing in college. So that's pretty cool. You get to see world-class athletes in Gainesville on a Friday night.
So last night, there were more world-class gymnasts in that event than in any other event except the World Championships and the Olympics.
Right, so that's why it gets sold out, because you're watching the best of the best in the world. I think we're going to go to our first break, and then we'll be back in about a couple minutes.
In 1971, we established the Meldon Law Firm, and since that time, the firm has been dedicated to getting the justice our clients deserve after being seriously injured in an accident. Our commitment to this community is paramount, and we won't back down in representing our clients. Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, now with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City.
The call-in number again.
Okay, we're back here at Law Talk Live. This is attorney Carrie Meldon. I'm here with my father, Jeffrey Meldon. It's a live call-in show. If you want to give us a call, our number is 1-877-975-9825. That's 1-877-975-9825. We're here live in the Odyssey Studios in Gainesville, Florida on this crispy Saturday morning. Every week we talk about at least one random legal topic or legal question. This week's legal question that was submitted was, can you get a DUI on a bicycle? And so we're going to answer that question now, and then we can have a little bit of discussion, then move forward. But Jeffrey, what's your answer to can you get a DUI on a bicycle?
The short answer is yes, and I've represented people on bikes. I remember someone who was right by the Florida Stadium on Gale Lemeren Drive, mm-hmm. who was very, very wasted on his bike. And apparently he was endangering some of the people walking around. And the police stopped him and gave him a DUI, and we had to deal with it. And I think we, you know, were successful in defending the case. However, legally, you can be charged with a DUI on a bike.
Correct. Even a skateboard as well. Now, one of the things that listeners out there may not know that is that if you are convicted of DUI or you have a DUI suspension and your license and you're not able to drive because your license is suspended, you are allowed to use a bicycle without a driver's license. So even though you can get a DUI on a bicycle, you don't need to have a driver's license in order to ride a bicycle. In fact, some of my clients that have been convicted of DUI in the past have ended up getting electric bicycles, and the statute allows an individual to drive an electric bicycle without a certified driver's license in the state of Florida, so long as the electric bicycle doesn't go more than 25 miles per hour on level ground.
Isn't there something about an engine that's not bigger than 50 cc's?
Yeah, there's something like that as well. That has to do with scooters. But I would say in most, but even with the scooter not more than 50 cc's, I think there still has to be some requirements in terms of if you have a driver's license suspension. So my understanding is that it's always had to be an electric bicycle in order for someone to drive without any type of license.
So that's it.
You know what? The law may change. I may be wrong, but that's my understanding. And for those people who are driving gas-powered vehicles, be careful. Even if it's off-road, you want to make sure that you're not getting stopped by a police officer. Although, there should not be police officers on private roads unless they have a legitimate or lawful basis to be there.
You know, I was down in the Villages last weekend to see David Faraday, a very funny guy. You know, he was a great golfer and then became a commentator. And everybody runs around in golf carts there. And sometimes they're driving 2, 3, 4 miles from the theater to their home. What's the law with, a golf cart?
Well, golf carts are interesting because some of them are electric, right? And some of them are not made for road use. But there are modifications you can make to golf carts so they will be valid for public road use. In that instance, you would need to have a driver's license to be able to operate those vehicles.
You know, I found out that a lot of them are actually gas engines because in order to drive from home to the golf course, then do 18 holes, and then drive back home and go shopping and all that.
You need to have enough power.
And an electric battery doesn't last long enough. So most of the golf carts down there are gas.
Right. And they go pretty fast. A lot of them are installed with governors, but they may have larger engines that can allow them to drive highway speed.
Yeah, it's a lot easier getting around there with a golf cart than a car. The parking's easier, and it's pretty amazing, though, when you see the abundance of golf carts all over the place, and they really deck them out. I mean, you're talking about fancy golf carts. There's some beautiful golf carts down there. So we say hello to all our friends down in the Villages. We love your golf carts. And boy, the Sheeran Theater down there was fabulous. They have some really nice shows there. And we got to meet Faraday before the show started. So it was quite a nice event. And I'm going to be checking out the schedule and going down there as much as possible to enjoy it.
Great. Well, that's good. So we answered this week's question. We've got a few more minutes before our second break. One of the things that we were talking about that has become a large topic, especially in Gainesville and across the nation, is what's called NIL, name, image, and likeness for college students. The way that the traditional structure worked was you go to high school, you become an athlete. If you're good enough, you may get what's called a scholarship offer to a college. And what a scholarship offer traditionally entailed was room, board, tuition, and there's food. And recently there was a little bit of a stipend, like a cost of living stipend, which was negligible, a couple thousand dollars. And in exchange for getting a free education, getting room and board, getting a stipend, getting food, you would engage in playing athletics. And that would be the kind of the exchange, right? You get a free education, and in exchange you play athletics for the school. And that was kind of the way that it was working for almost 100 years. That was the structure of college football. Probably it changed a lot in terms of the amount of scholarships, but that was always the way that college athletics worked. And it was considered to be an amateur sport, and it was not. And what that meant, essentially, in common sense, meant you're not getting paid to play the sport. You're going to play the sport because of the love of the game. That was the thought process behind it. Now, obviously, TV contracts came into play in the 80s, and you know the schools started spending a lot of money on coaches, and they had TV contracts and you know relationships with Nike and Adidas and Gatorade, and all this money was coming in, and the kids were like, "Well, we're basically doing all of this, and you're making all the money off of us." And a couple years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a decision, essentially said you got to be careful, not that you cannot necessarily restrict an individual from using their own name, image, or likeness for profit in any type of circumstance. In other words, you know, you are your own person. If someone wants to pay you for who you are, you should be able to get paid, as long as you're not getting paid as a you're not getting paid to play. In other words,
and the idea, as I understand it, Kerry, was that people would be able to get endorsements. So if Pepsi wanted to give a contract to Trinity Thomas for gymnastics and pay her $50,000 to co-promote and have Trinity Thomas say, "I love Pepsi,"
right,
then she could get $50,000. But it's kind of got twisted around.
The intention was that if a company can actually make money by endorsing a college athlete, then it would be a good faith negotiation, and the athlete should be able to receive financial compensation. Originally, it started with a video game. There was a football video game, and the football video game actually took the height, the weight, the speed of every athlete on every single college football squad, and then they put the number of the athlete, the actual jersey number on the athlete, and then they put them on the screen, and players across the world were playing with these players. And it was a billion-dollar industry, right? And what happened was that one of the players got upset because they said, "Well, my likeness is on this video game. I'm not getting compensated for it." And that's kind of where the origins came from. And in that circumstance, it made sense because the company had a financial basis to want to have those players on the screen because it made their game more realistic and more people would want to play it. So therefore, there was a financial reason why the video game wanted to have the college athlete on their actual screen, with you know all of the height, the weight, the speed requirements, because it made the game better and more realistic and more people would want to play. And in that case, the athlete probably deserved to be compensated because his name, especially his likeness and his image was being used, and therefore it made sense. But it made sense because it was financially feasible for the company who was making money off of the kid's name. What you see now, and we'll get back in a few seconds, is that none of this money is producing any type of profit for any of the people that's contributing it in NIL. It looks like we have a phone call coming in. Doug will answer it, and we'll come back after the break. Hold on 1 second.
Since 1971, Meldon Law has been dedicated to giving back to our community. Our Veterans Making a Difference program honors the over 20,000 veterans in North Central Florida. We're here for our veterans, our community, and we'll be there when you need someone on your side after a serious accident. Meldon Law, the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, now with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City.
Okay, this is Kerry Meldon. We're back here at Law Talk Live. I'm here with my dad, Jeffrey Meldon. It looks like we had a caller, Leland, that may have gotten disconnected. Leland, if you want to give us a call back, our number is 1-877-975-9825. That's 1-877-985-9. Oh, looks like he might be calling in, Doug. So I'll let you attend to that. In the meantime, essentially, we're talking about NIL, the fact that it was never supposed to be pay for play, quid pro quo. You know, it was supposed to be essentially compensation for people whose name, images, and likenesses were actually being used for profitable purposes, and therefore they should be able to get some piece of that pie.
Yeah, and now it's turned into this weird thing where the boosters put a bunch of money together in a collective, and then they negotiate just like the NFL negotiates with professional players to come to colleges. And you've seen what's happened in the last week and a half with our quarterback from California who said he was coming, signed a letter of intent, and then apparently had second thoughts because other people were dangling more money.
I have zero idea about the – I'm not even going to speculate about why or if he's even coming. I think we kind of stay out of that topic. Do we have Leland on the line? Leland.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, good morning, Leland. How you doing?
So far, so good.
Tell me what's going on.
Well, back in July – my son and his family got evicted from their house that they were in. So being the nice dad, I allowed them to come here, and they were going to stay a couple weeks, and they are still here, and I cannot get them out of my house for nothing.
You got a case of the squatters.
Exactly.
Well, Dad, I know you've dealt with this plenty of times. You want to give Leland some advice here?
Well, there is always a legal action. It may be under trespass or something like that.
Generally speaking, the way that it works is that you have to obviously give notice. Then you have to bring in the sheriff's office, and they're going to. There's a process in which the eviction occurs. Obviously, you know, most of the time, once they realize that it's getting legal, they're more likely to move out, especially. You know, in some circumstances, you can ask for opposing fees and costs that they would have to pay for you. But if right. they're still living with you and they don't have any money, then it's like squeezing water out of a rock in a lot of circumstances.
Well, he's got a job, and I did post no trespassing sign here last week.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of been investigated, and I'm not sure an unlawful detainer or something like that is called versus an eviction, because they don't pay me a dime.
Right, right. And the fact is they don't have a lease agreement, so it's a little bit different than it would be someone who's actually had a valid lease agreement and then just decided not to vacate. So,
right.
You know, you have, you know, obviously you've already had trespass warnings. Where what county do you live in?
I'm in Marion County.
Have you contacted the sheriff's department yet?
Not yet, I haven't, because they got two little kids, and that's the only thing, you know, my two little granddaughters, that's the only thing that's holding me back.
Right.
Because it'll put them on the streets, but I'm at the point where I don't really care anymore.
Well, that's your decision. I mean, obviously, I don't know the family dynamics, and, you know, it sounds like you do have empathy for the children, because obviously it's not their fault. I think you probably need to have a sit down, you know, with someone. And just let them know, look, this is coming to an end. And in some respects, I hate to say it, but you know, you may want to agree to pay to get them out of the house for at least a couple weeks, and then it's harder for them to come back in. So you may have to take an initial hit financially just to get them out, and then it's a lesson learned. You know, sometimes generosity is not met with generosity.
Yeah, because that's where I'm at. I'm at the point where. You know, I mean, he works at the city of Gainesville. He's got a decent job. There's nothing holding him back from getting a place of their own other than, I don't know, I guess laziness, or he just wants to mooch off a dad or something.
Well, tell him you'll pay for the first month's rent, and then if he wants to deal with not paying the landlord that he's in, that he moves to, then that's going to be between him and that landlord, not you anymore. I'm not telling him to do a legal action, but you got to get him out of your house somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jeffrey, anything else you want to add to that?
No. When it comes to family, it's partly about law, but it's also partly about family dynamics. And so those are the decisions you need to make. I agree with Carrie, though. If you really want to get them out, then help them get out by finding them a new place and you know, help him financially if he needs a deposit or something like that. So anyhow, you know, good luck with it. We appreciate you calling, and thanks for
thank
checking
you, Leland.
In.
Appreciate it. So that was
thank you.
Good call. I appreciate it. That was that's a tough situation, right? When you have when you're being generous, you bring family members in, and all of a sudden your life gets turned upside down, and you know you got other innocent parties as well Unfortunately, that's just the nature of life. It's not always black and white.
Yeah, so anyhow, let's finish up with NIL. Kerry, where do you see it going?
All right, well, where I think it should go is that they should just make the athletes professional, you know, and the athletes that are actually generating revenue should be able to get paid a salary. And most, I know it's majority basketball and mostly football because of the TV contracts, because of the ticket sales, because of the merchandise sales. I think the kids should get a piece of that. I think they should make it so there's, just like the NFL, there's salary caps that you can't transfer out once you get into the school, that you get a you know, a minimum and maximum pay depending on what year you are. For example, in the NFL, you have rookie contracts that are already pre-designed, so you can't go over a certain amount of time or a certain amount of money with regards to paying a rookie its first year. And you're also capped, and it brings a little bit more, I would say, equality between the teams and the NFL. Now, obviously, it's going to cause a major break in NCAA. You know, certain teams, the haves are going to be part of that crew that's going to get the money, and the have-nots are going to have to settle back to just playing college football, and the athletes there are just going to have to want to go there in order to get a free education, which is still a pretty good trade-off.
I think if the athletes can actually generate endorsements, they should certainly be free to do that. Gymnasts are one of the highest paid endorsements because there's a lot of young people, girls, boys, that are into gymnastics, and they follow the stars, and they can actually make money the way NIL was intended.
Right. So that should always be available, right? Like you can't even argue against that because the U.S. Supreme Court has already said that's okay. What I'm saying is with the big boys, if they're all getting paid a certain amount of money, they're less likely to go to a school just for money. You know, they may get an extra NIL deal here and there, but they're all going to be getting paid so much anyways that it's not going to materially affect going to where they want to go in their heart. And the problem right now is that their heart is not in alignment with the money, and they're going where the money is, not where their heart is. And every college kid should be able to go to college based on their heart, not based upon their relatives telling them, we need the money, go here.
Yeah, I think things have gotten twisted upside down, and it's going to take a couple years to play out, in my opinion.
Hopefully sooner. Yeah. All right, well, this is a good episode. Thanks for joining us here at Law Talk Live. Jeffrey, you want to send everyone out?
Yeah, we're going to tell everybody goodbye. Hey, we got the Gator basketball today at 3:30. Check it out. And tomorrow, the women's team.
Go Gators! Gators!